Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara. We are on Samach Amud Beis, the very last line. Ve'lo biyachad v'zman she'im b'rog l'maka. The Mishnah, we're quoting the Mishnah right now. The Mishnah said, a person is not allowed to go out with one single sandal if there is no wound on his foot. So the Gemara makes the diuk. The Gemara says an inference from here. Ha'yesh b'rog l'maka. That implies that if there was in fact a wound on his foot, nafik, a person is allowed to go out wearing a single sandal. So the Gemara says, again, we pointed out, why was there an issue with wearing one single sandal? Rashi said, because either people will make fun of him, or the other option was that they're going to think that you're carrying it. So the Gemara says now again that this wouldn't apply if you have a wound on your foot. So the Gemara says, "B'hai menan nafik." So which of these feet are you allowed to wear the single sandal on? So the Gemara now quotes Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, "Oso sheyesh b'maka." He's only allowed to go out wearing the single sandal on the one that has the wound on it. So the Gemara says, Amo, we see from Rav Huna's statement that Kasavar sandal l'shem tzar avid, that he's of the opinion that a sandal, why do a person wear a sandal? Because he wears it to protect himself from the pain. And rocks and sticks and stones and everything that's on the ground is very painful, Rashi says. So therefore, that is why one is wearing sandals. So therefore, even if a single sandal is allowed to go out, in order to protect him from the wounded foot. So the Gemara says, V'chia bar Rav Amar, V'chia Rav Amar, he says, Ba'osar she'in b'maka. He's only allowed to go out on the foot that does not have the wound on it. So he understands, Amma kasavar l'shem tayna gavid. Chia bar Rav understands that, why do people wear shoes and sandals? It's worn because it's extra comfort. It's not necessarily something that's necessary for every person to be wearing. It's not for pain. Okay? So then, if that comes out, V'zei she'esh b'shmaka. So this person who has a wound, specifically with the sandal over here, makasa mutachas aleha, his wound is attesting to the fact that he no longer, he's not able to wear it on the other shoe, so therefore he's not going to be made fun of according to Rashi, no one's going to assume that he was carrying it. Both options of what Rashi said was the reason would not apply over here. Because again, they see the wound. Everyone sees the fact that he had the wound, so there'd be no issue with regards to the Mara sign over here. So the Gemara now says, Araya for the first Deya, V'af Rabbi Yochanan Savar Lalahad Rav Huna. It seems to be Rabbi Yochanan followed Rav Huna. D'amar Le Rabbi Yochanan L'Rav Shem Bar Abba. Rabbi Yochanan told his Rav Shem Bar Abba, he says, Havli Mesanai, give me my shoes. Yoiv Le Diyamin, Rav Shemin gave him Rabbi Yochanan his right shoe to wear. Agav, Rav Shemin was a Kohen. So this seems to be a Raya that if the Kohen is Mocha, a person is not allowed to ask a Kohen to do things for him. If a Kohen is Mocha, it seems to be a Raya from over here that you were be allowed to ask a Kohen. I'm not going to the whole sugi over here, but this just seems to be a Raya from this. And Gemara says, Amr Lei, Rabbi Yochanan responded to him, Asiso Maka, you have made my foot look like one that has a wound. So what's the Raya from over here? Rabbi Yochanan meant that since he'd be wearing only his right shoe, because again, the Gemara later is going to explain that. The Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds you to put your left shoe on first. So if he's putting on his right shoe, he wouldn't be putting on his left shoe afterwards. So therefore, it would see that he was only wearing the right shoe. If he's only wearing the right shoe, he was saying that it appears that he has a wound because that was the only one. So therefore, he agrees that you should wear the shoe that has the wound on it. So the Gemara now says, no, maybe the Lashonos isn't so compelling. Dilma kichia barav srele. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan really holds a kichia barav, who holds that the shoe is worn on the foot without the wound. This is what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say. Asisa shall small maka. It's as if you're making my left foot what has a wound. Meaning he says, Asisa maka meant it was on the left foot. That really the left foot would be having the wound. And meaning because he's wearing only the right shoe, it's as if my left foot has a wound. Because again, now that would be assuming that Rabbi Yochanan is holding that you would wear it on the foot without the wound. So we have no proof from here. It's actually interesting. Machlokas Rishonim had a paskin based on this. Because the Gemara doesn't seem to come to a resolution. Which shoe do you wear in this situation of the Gemara? Okay. So either way, in both versions of the statement, the Gemara assumed that you do not put on the right shoe first. It's assumed that once he put on the right shoe, he would not be wearing any shoe anymore. The Gemara now asks, so the Gemara now brings a proof that that's true. But as Rabbi Yochanan at the time, this follows Rabbi Yochanan's own shita in another place. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ketfilin kach minalim. One, as one puts on tefillin, so too, that's how one should put on his shoes. Ma tefillin basol, just like we see by tefillin. A person on his left hand, where do we know that? Rashi quotes the drasha. The pasuk says, vayelayos al yadcha, which is written differently. So the Gemara has a drasha of yadcha that should be yad keha, which is your weaker hand. So that's what we learned. Okay, a lefty puts on his right hand. Okay, that's what we learned of Yad Kehah, that a person wears it on a weaker hand. So just like we see by tefillin, so that you wear it on your weaker hand, so too afminalin bismol. So too when it comes to one who puts on his shoes, he should begin with the left shoe and not the right shoe first. That's what we see with Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, what in the world do these two things have to do with each other? So there's some who explain, Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us in general that Rabbi Yochanan so much was makbid on tefillin, that he cared so much about tefillin, so therefore he decided to be machmir to remember the tefillin and wear it on his left. I saw a beautiful pshat in the name of the Avnei Shoham. The Avnei Shoham brings down that the Gemara quotes about Avram Avinu. The Avram Avinu, when he had the war of Sdom, it said, Mitchut Ve'ad Shroch Na'al. It says over there that he's not going to take anything. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Chulin tells us that based on that Rashi quotes on Chumash, that his children were Zochet to two mitzvahs. He was on the Chut Shel Tcheles, we have the string of Tcheles, and also the Ritzuos of Tfilin. The Ritzuos of Tfilin is the Tfilin straps. So he says that that's a beautiful rai over here that Davka we're putting on our shoes to remember what Avram Avinu did. That Davka was Shroch Na'al, it was Ve'ad Shroch Na'al, was Davka by a shoe. For the shoelaces, I'm not taking anything. And Avram Avinu said, it's all from Mishamayim, so that we remember this miracle of Avram Avinu that we promised with tefillin. So there is a connection fundamentally between shoes and tefillin. I thought that was a very beautiful pshat to the explanation. Why not ask though? Either way, Rabbi Yochanan assumes that you should be wearing your tefillin, your shoe, when you put on your shoes in the morning, you first put on your left shoe first. The Gemara asks the kasha on the brisa, meisivik shoe noel. When a person puts on his shoes, noel shall yom and brachach, noel shall small. The brisa says explicitly, you put on your right shoe first, and afterwards you put on your left shoe. The brisa says explicitly against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, now, Rabbi Yosef, hash to the Tanya Hachi. So Rabbi Yosef, so we don't try to answer the brisa of Rabbi Yochanan. We just say that since the brisa taught this way first, right foot and then that left foot. So Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Rabbi Yochanan had his own sheet, and Rabbi Yochanan is a big gadol. So therefore, David Hachi Avid, U David Hachi Avid, an answer to the Gemara, which really the Gemara will use. Rabbi Yosef understood that he thought you could do any which way you would like. So the question is, how do you get around that brisa? So the Ran answers. The Ran says that it must be that Rabbi Yosef understood that Rabbi Yochanan had a brisa that we were unfamiliar with, because it couldn't be that Rabbi Yochanan would just be against the blatant brisa and then we would just accept it. So because of that, the Ran assumes that that was how you explain. How he still embrace Rabbi Yochanan. The Tosfos have a different answer. Tosfos says that Rabbi Yosef is not arguing on the brisa over here. It was just assuming what is more chavit for a person. Rabbi Yochanan assumed that since tefillin was still chavit for him, he should put it on the left, as opposed to the Gemara, which was assuming the brisa, which is assuming generally we do everything with the mitzvah, the bo'an yad, bo'an regel, the sprinkling of the korbanos on the right, the coin would move to the right on the mizbeach. Many times we prove the right is more chashuv. So therefore, the brisa assumed that that was that. However, tefillin was so chavit to Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore he did it on the left. So it really wasn't necessarily a stira; it was whatever was more chavit to that those individuals. Either way, the Gemara quotes machlokes or amalei. Abaya argues on Rabbi Yosef. He says, "Dilma Rabbi Yochanan, hamas nisalavish mile." No, how do you know that? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan just never knew this brisa, and if he knew it, viavish mile, he would have been closer. He said that I was wrong. And therefore, and then we don't accept Rabbi Yochanan. Vinamish mile, and even if Rabbi Yochanan did hear the brisa, kasar ein alacha kosa mishnah. Maybe also we don't like that brisa, but we should follow that Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, we don't necessarily say that we should be following Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara now quotes another possible solution of Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yerushimayim Yotzei Dishneim. Of someone who wants to be machmer and really a fear of heaven, he should do both. The Gemara says, "Manu, and who is this Yerushimayim that we're talking about? Mar Breid Rabbana. Mar Rabbana. What did he do? So what did he do? How did he do both? The Gemara says, "Siyam de'amina velo katar." He put on his right shoe first and give it more chashivus, as we've seen, because of all the mitzvahs that are done with the right. The right is generally, we always assume that the right is more chashivus. The siyam the smaller of katar, then he would put on his left shoe and then he would tie it. He would tie his left shoe first, vadar katar diamina, and then he would tie his right shoe first. So we see from here, putting on his right shoe first was giving the chashivus, and then he tied the left shoe, but it's giving it chashivus to the left. That's how Rashi understands. Tosfos explained, no, that dafka, the whole idea was tying. That what is the whole idea of Rabbi Yochanan was putting on the left shoe and then tying that left shoe, because tying is like you tie your tefillin straps on your arm. So to follow Rabbi Yochanan, you could accomplish this by first putting on your right and tying the left shoe first with your shoelaces. So therefore, Tosfos point out that if you have just shoes without any laces, then you just do right and left, and you don't do like Rabbi Yochanan at all, and you just do right and left. That's how Halacha L'maisa. So it comes out, that's how we follow. The Gemara, though, quotes another opinion. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazinu L'Rav Kahana, D'lo Kapid. I saw that Rav Kahana was not machmir about this, which order he puts on the shoes. The machlok is exactly what Rav Kahana meant, but we'll just go with that one, that he sometimes put on his left shoe first, sometimes put on his right shoe. Okay, there's others explain differently what lokapid really meant, but maybe just on the extra Yerei Shemayim. But the way we go in Shulchan Aruch is that a person should be doing this, following this halacha. Person first puts on his shoes in the morning, puts on his right shoe first, then he puts on his left shoe, ties his left shoe, and then puts on his right shoe. And we see from here, the mirror just points out that every little thing that we do is supposed to remind us of other mitzvahs. From the moment we walk up and tie our shoes, we have given it away to remind us of tefillin, to remind us of the mitzvahs they do in the base of Mikdash with the right, that you turn to the right first, you hold the lulav right, all those things are supposed to resemble things. Everything we wait, we go to sleep, the way we wake up, everything is based on serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very basic shot from the Meir. The Gemara continues in the Tanur Rabbanan. The Brisa tells us, Kshino Oel, when a person puts on his shoes, Noel Shal Yamin Rachak Noel Shal Smali. He should first put on his right shoe, And afterwards, put on his left shoe, cholitz. And when you take off your shoes, cholitz shel smov, after shel tefillin. You should dafka take off. I don't know if how many people realize this. You should dafka take off your left shoe first, and you should leave on your right shoe. Why? Because that again is giving more kavod to the right. Because you put on the less important thing first, you're still wearing the right shoe for that extra split second. It's showing more kavod to the right. So just sort of Tukachinsky makes a deal from there. If we see that's giving more kavod to the right, what if there's a mitzvah like an Erev Yom Kippur where you're supposed to be taking off your shoes? So we thought maybe you should dafka give the right more kavod and take off your right shoe first. Rosh Shlomo Zalman disagreed on that on Erev Yom Kippur because he thought there's no dafka mitzvah to take off. If you're wearing shoes that are halachically acceptable, you don't have to take them off. However, Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, I'll give you an example where I think Rav Tukachinsky is right. On Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, if you're taking off your weekday shoes and a person has special Shabbos shoes, that really is a mitzvah. You're taking off the shoe in order to put on a more chashu shoe, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. In that situation, I think a person should be taking off the right shoe first. That's what comes out of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Some even extended this thing. Rav Cook extended this to mikvah, if I remember correctly, a different case. That if a person going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, maybe that's a mitzvah. So you should be taking off the right shoe first because you're taking off your shoes in order to go do the mitzvah of going to tefillah on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Kippur. So that's another shaila over there. What would we extend that? But again, the general rule is though every other time of the year, a person should be taking off his left shoe before his right shoe. So rochetz also when a person is washing, rochetz shliyom and rachash and rochetz osmo. You should dafka wash your hands first with your right hand. That you do negobas in the morning, you wash until tzedayim. You should be picking up the cup with your left hand and washing your right hands first. And a person anoints himself with oil, sach shliyom and rachash osmo. Also, you should anoint yourself first on the right side, giving more kavod to the right side and then to the left side. Person who wishes to anoint his entire body, Saf Rosho Tchila. He should anoint his head first, Neshu Melech HaKol Yivrav, because Dafka the head is considered the Melech, as the ruler of all your limbs. This is Allah HaLamayis, we're going to realize this also when you shower. Ideally, you're supposed to do shampoo first. So you put your hair first to wash off your hair, and then you should be washing your whole right side of your body first, your arms, your legs, and then washing your body on the right side of you. And then only after that, you should be washing your left side of your body. This is Allah HaLamaisa as well, and when it comes to the way a person should shower. Now the Gemara continues that a person is not supposed to go out with tefillin, a little bit tefillin, shouldn't go out with tefillin, in the Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara now says, Amar Safka lo tema aliba demand amar Shabbos lam tefillin. Don't assume that this halacha is according to the one who holds that Shabbos is not a time of tefillin. Gemara Menachos is of a very long machlokas about this. Whether there's it would be like an Isra Daraisa Ki'ilu, that it's really the Torah is telling you, prescribing you not to wear tefillin on Shabbos because Shabbos is not on tefillin, or just Gzeira Darbanan that you shouldn't be wearing tefillin. So the Gemara, or maybe it's even Mutter there, Tanaim, who used to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So the Gemara assumes that you would have thought that maybe this mission is only according to one who says it's Asar Etzvan Shabbos. However, the one who holds Ela Filo Mandamar Shabbos Mantvan, though there's a Mandamar that says Shabbos, you're allowed to wear tefillin, no problem wearing tefillin on Shabbos. So maybe you could hold according to that Mandamar, Lo Yetze, even according to, you would have thought according to him, you would be allowed to leave because you're allowed to wear tefillin. It's a mitzvah to wear tefillin on Shabbos according to this Tana. No, even they would agree, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because Dilma Asul is Super Rosh Hashanah. Because maybe you'll remove them in the street and you're going to come to carry them. Why will you remove them? Rashi says, because maybe they're going to fall off, or Rashi says rather you're going to go to the bathroom. The other answer you could give is that maybe it'll fall off, and then like anything else, for showing to people or whatever reason like that. Rashi says maybe you're going to come to go to the bathroom. If you come to the bathroom, you have to take them off to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom used to be outside in the times of the Gemara, as we've seen in the Gemara and Brachos. So they used to be outside, so you're going to take them off and carry your tefillin. So the Gemara says, "Ikdamas la seifa." Some teacher of Safra statement in regards to the later ruling of the Mishnah, which the Mishnah says, "Im yatsa ino chayv chatas." You're not going to be chayv midaraisa if you wore tefillin on your head in the Rosh Hashanah. Remember, Safra lo tima liba demand amar Shabbos man tefillin. Maybe you would assume that this Mishnah is going with the one that holds that Shabbos is man tefillin. You're not chayv chatas. Why? Because fundamentally, you're allowed to be wearing them on Shabbos. However, you would have thought that according to the man amar that says that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, I would have thought it's a burden to wear tefillin in the Rosh Hashanah according to that man amar. So the Gemara says, "No, Allah fila man amar Shabbos is man tefillin." Even according to the one who holds that Shabbos is the time of tefillin, ain chayav chatas. A person is not going to be chayav chatas if he wears a matzah on Shabbos. Why not? My tama derech mal b'shavida. Because you're wearing the tefillin in such a manner that's like your clothing. Even though your Shabbos is matzah tefillin, you're wearing it like clothing, then it would not be an issur to right? So that comes up. If a person has to save tefillin, it's going to get ruined. And for whatever reason, the person's trying to steal it or whatever like that, a person needs to wear them, Rosh Hashanah, this might be a hetzer to wear them derech mal b'sh on Shabbos. The Gemara continues, "Now, beloved Kamim is mentioned in the Mumcha." You mentioned a person in the Mishnah is not allowed to go out with an amulet as long as it's not from an expert. The Gemara asks, "Amar Papa, what is this expert?" Lo tema ad the Mumcha gavra the Mumcha kamiya. Don't say that we're talking about an amulet where the person who wrote it is an expert, and also the amulet is considered effective. And how do we know that? Rashi says two cases. What this might be that a maybe it's a person that healed three different people and from the same disease. And from this amulet. So then the person is going to be considered a proven expert, but for a different disease, we don't know if this amulet will help you, this kamiya will help you to ward off that amulet. The second one is that maybe a person wrote three different amulets for three different diseases. So each one of these amulets cured three different people. Then the person is considered to be a proven expert with regards to curing any disease with an amulet. And the amulet itself is not necessarily going to be proven for other things. And Mar says, Ela came with the Mumcha Gavra. Since the person we see is an expert, then we see over here, Afagav Delo Mumcha Kamiya, even though the amulet itself is not considered to be proven effective. Thank you. that again, that it would be mutter to wear it. It's still mutter to wear it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Daikanami, we can bring a proof from an inference from the Braisa, from the Mishnah rather." The Mishnah tells us, "V'lo kamiv is manche inam minamumcha." A person's not allowed to go out with an animal as long as not from an expert. "V'lo ktani is manche inam minamumcha." It doesn't say that it's not been proven. Meaning, the phrase implies that there is an expert over here, even though the amulet itself was not been an expert. Shmami, no, we derive from here that an amulet is written, any amulet written by a general mumcha, even though not particular for ward off this type of chula that the person came for him for, it would still be considered effective. You're allowed to wear it in the Rishus Harabim, because you're not going to come to take it off. The Gemara now says, what is considered an effective amulet? What is considered an effective amulet? So the Gemara says, "Kol Shariva Vishina Vashilash." Any amulet that has cured an illness one time and cured it again and again, so basically it has to cure a person three different times. So the Gemara says, and doesn't matter that this amulet was a writing. Apparently, the amulets, they had amulets that were made of herbs as well. And so the Gemara says, "It's allowed to be worn even someone who's very sick. Someone who's not very sick, like deathly ill. Lo shenichba. It's also not going to be restricted that something that's already fallen due to the meaning. Someone who literally it got sick. Ella shelo ikafe. Rather, one may wear it so that he will not get sick with this. So kosher matir afila b'rishus rabim, and a person is allowed to tie it, even untie it, while it's in the b'rishus rabim. We're not afraid that he's going to come to take it, to carry it. Levad shelo ikashenu. As long as he does not tie it v'shir v'tabas to replace it a ring v'yitzav b'rishus rabim and go out with it in the b'rishus rabim. Why in the b'rishus rabim? Because it's going to look bad. Why everyone's going to think you're violating the din of wearing a bracelet or other jewelry, which we said before is usher to wear, because you're going to come to show it to people. So that would be usher. However, if it wasn't that issue, then you would be allowed to wear it, meaning you have to tie it to your body. That would be only the case, which is going to be mutter. So the Gemara now says, V'atana, though, the Braisa teaches us something else. Eizu kamia, for what the getter of something that's considered an effective kamia is. Eizu kamia mumcha, what's considered an amulet that's effective? Kol sharipa shlosha b'nei adam ke'echa. Any amulet that has cured three people one time. So the Braisa seems to imply that an amulet is only going to be considered effective if it heals three different people. However, here we are assuming that if a person got sick one time and you gave it to him and it got better, and then a year later got sick again and got better and gave it back later, that's considered an effective amulet. Well, only if it was the same person. So which is it? So the Gemara answer is no. Lo kasha. There's no kasha with this in the first Braisa and the second Braisa. Ha. The second Braisa, which says that three different people can be cured, the mechuyah gava, that's specifically for providing the guy who's writing it, meaning the guy who's writing the kamiyas, the healer, that's considered make him an expert. Then he would be considered an expert. And then, all the mechuyah kamiyah, however, the second price is referring to that you need to make the amulet effective. So Rashi points out that the Gemara seems to be removing its original status. Right? The Gemara assumed, the Gemara is saying that the second Braisa now is not teaching how an amulet is going to be effective, rather how the actual writer of the amulet is going to be effective. So that's what we assume before is on the amulet, and we say it's going on the gavra. So the Gemara says, the Gemara continues, Amar, Papa Pshitali, Papa says that it's obvious to me, plas kamiya leklas gavra, that when it comes to, if a healer wrote three different types of amulets for three different people, plus a plus a zimne, and each one of the amulets cured three different times, is mechaya gavra is mechaya kamiya, that the person is both an expert and the kamiya, the actual amulet itself is considered effective, and someone else wrote the kamiya, that's what comes out, then it would be considered effective, you're allowed to write it, even if you don't know the guy himself is a proven kamiya writer. Plus a kamiya, plus a gavra, it's also pasha to me that if the healer wrote three different amulets for three different people, chad chad zimna, each one of them could one time, gavra is mechai, the man is considered proven because he has three different amulets that he wrote. However, kamiya lo is mechai, each amulet is not going to be considered proven yet. Okay? So, and then we also point out that we see that the writer is going to be considered proven, Rashi says, not just for this kamiya, but anything else, not just these three that he wrote, but for any other type of, illness that if someone will come up to him with, then he would be considered effective, and you'd assume that he's an expert. Chad kamiya lo is gavra. It's also obvious to me that if the healer wrote one amulet to three different people who are sick, then they all got better, kamiya is machai, then the amulet's going to be considered effective. Gavra lo is machai, but the person who wrote the kamiya is not going to be considered an expert. So the Gemara now says, Akasha, the writer of Papa Ravaska, or if Papa asked the question, Akasha, the Gemara says, plus a kamiya lechad gavra. What if one person wrote a kamiya to three different kamiyas to one person? So the Gemara asks, what's going to be the halacha if they all got better? Kamiya vada lo is mechay. The amulet obviously is not going to be proven effective if there's only one person. However, gavra is mechay olam mechay. He only wrote it to one person. So then maybe it's not going to be considered, even though all three cured this one guy, different sicknesses that this one guy had, then the man could still not be necessarily considered a proven kamiya expert. Why not? So the Gemara says, Miyaminan ha'asilei. Maybe you could say that person killed him three times, so that's the first getter. And that should work, and he should be considered proven. Or maybe, Odilma, you could argue, Mazlodai gavrahu, ho de kamikabem. Ksava. You can argue the mazel. Rashi says the mazel different places. Rashi says different things. Here Rashi says mazel means that his malach in shemayim, that his malach in shemayim, this is a heavenly guard up in shemayim, that's the person who's going to be guarding him, that it was the guy who was sick. Hashem wanted him to get better each time. So maybe that's what's making him better. Take it, the Gemara says, let that stand. So basically, we have a lot of different gedarim over here for what's considered effective or not. Maybe I'll just summarize quickly that if a healer heals one person three times from the same machala, the same disease, and the same type of amulet, the amulet is considered proven effective for any person who is suffering from that to be by any healer. Then we have a second case, if a person is healing each three people suffering from the same disease with the same type of amulet, then we're going to assume that amulet is going to be considered effective. Further, if we also have a case, if we see that the healer is healing three different people who each suffer from a different disease, so then also we're going to assume that that's effective. And again, that's what comes out from these cases of the Gemara. Again, there's a lot of machlokas Rishonim, basically. I just went to simplify it with Shitas Rashi. Rashi has steers himself, but that's what the pashas of Shitas Rashi. Gemara Ketuvos Avaylehu. Kimian yesh ben mishum kedusha aduma in ben mishum kedusha. So now we have a different question over here. Is this considered like a davar shebe kedusha when you write up the kamiyah? Because you usually use the shemos of a kodesh baruch hu. So we're going to have, so the Gemara is going to ask, what status is your question? My helpful, so which law were you wondering if it has the kedusha over here, if it's holy? So the Gemara says, if you want to assume that it's going to be permitted to save them from a fire, the halacha says, if you fix the Girsh Rashi, that we're talking about in a case where the Chazal allowed you to take things into a Chatzar She'enam Urevetz, which is an Isra Darabana to carry in, but if you're allowed to, you're allowed to save Sfarim and Sefer Torah to the Chatzar She'enam Urevetz in order to save them and not have them burn on fire. So maybe over here you should be able to save the Kamiya as well. So the Gemara says, no, that wouldn't be a question, because Tashma, the Rashi says explicitly, have brachas a Kamiya. If someone wrote out the brachas, Rashi said the brachas on Rosh Hashanah, which quote psukim. All right, we have the nine brachas brachas, malchus zechonos and shofros. And then they quote each one has three psukim of Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim. So maybe you could say over there, no, even though it has many letters of Hashem's name and sections of the Torah, the Chazal tell us you're not allowed to save them from a fire in your house. When you shofim and koman, and they're allowed to burn. Again, this is passive; you're not actively burning them, so you're not allowed to violate the din derabanan to carry in the rishus rabim. So we see explicitly that kamiya was mentioned. You're not allowed to save them on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ella, the Indian geniza. It must be that we're talking about the amulet over here is hiding them with regards to the fact that you can that you have to bury them. You have to bury them if they become unused or that situation. The Gemara says Tashma, we can bring a proof. If the names of Hashem are written on the handles of utensils, on legs of the bed, you have to cut them off and where the name of Hashem was, and you have to bury them. So we see over here. The Rashi says the names of Hashem have to be buried, so that should be the same with amulets. Amulet, if Kamiya has the name of Hashem, they should have to be buried as well. So the Rashi says Elikans Rezakisa. So maybe the question was whether or not you're allowed to bring an amulet into a bathroom or not. So the Gemara says, Yeshbem Kedusha Vasar, is it going to be that they have Kedusha and not allowed to go into the bathroom? Oh, Dilma Ibrahim Kedusha Shara, maybe the amulets don't have intrinsic holiness, and you would not have to worry about taking them to the bathroom. The Gemara says, Tashma, we can bring a proof. Look, me as Manshin Ben Amulcha. The Mishnah told us that your person is not allowed to go on a Shabbos with an amulet that's not from an expert. So what could make the diuk? That implies that if a person has an amulet from an expert, you're allowed to be taking it outside. So the Gemara says, "Ve'imar k'min yeshem kedusha." But if amulets have holiness to them, and you're not allowed to wear them in the bathroom, zimnim and tzarchel b'sakisa. But let's say the guy has to go to the bathroom, and he's wearing this amulet, and what's going to happen? Ramos versus Rabin. He's going to come to take them for Ramos because he's going to take them off when you have to go to the bathroom, just like tefillin. That might be one of the suggestions of why tefillin would be usher to wear them in the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, "Achamay eskinan b'kamil sheli karim." We're dealing. No, that this case of the Mishnah is talking about only the amulets that are made of roots. So yeah, we're not afraid he's going to take it off because you're allowed to wear it into the bathroom because the herbs there's no holiness to them. So you're allowed to wear them in the bathroom as well. However, what would come out is that a regular kamiya would be also to wear in the bathroom, and then it would come out also be also to wear them on Shabbos. Gemara says, no, that's not true though. The Braisa says explicitly, it doesn't matter what type of amulet we're discussing. If it's one of writing or one of roots, both of them are allowed to be worn on Shabbos. So how could you, don't we have this chashi, you'll still wear it into the bathroom? So the Gemara gets another teretz. The Gemara says, this is what we're dealing with in this Mishnah. We're dealing with a person who is dangerously ill. He's going to wear the amulet at all times, even in the bathroom. The Gemara says about Tanya. And the Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, though, is that really true? It's not true. We assume that someone who is very sick, and someone who is not very sick is allowed to wear this amulet on Shabbos. So the original, we can go back to the original proof that you're not, that there's no kedusha because we're not afraid you'll take them into the bathroom because you're allowed to take them into the bathroom. So the Gemara suggests a third possibility. Ella keva demase. Since the amulet is curing this person, abagav denakit lebiade shaper dami. Maybe even if you hold it, it's not going to be considered carrying. And you'd be and wouldn't be permitted to wear it outside because you're not holding it. The Gemara says that that's true. The Atanya, Rabbi Yosha, Amar, Alvat Shaleach Zan Biyado. One is not. One is allowed to wear an amulet, but you're not allowed to hold it in your hand. Because if you carry it, you're going to be chayav. So the amulet is not allowed to be carried. So you can't tell me they're allowed to carry it as like part of your body, even carrying it. That's not true. So the Gemara says. So Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says now, Elahacha Mayaskinan. So what are we dealing with the vikar in our Mishnah? The Gemara is talking about chupe, or we're talking about an amulet that was covered with leather. So if it's covered with leather, then it's not an issue of wearing it into the bathroom because it's covered. I was seeing the Gemara in Brachos over there. You might need a double covering, but and also maybe you have an opening of a tapach, as we see in the Gemara in Brachos. But if you have it, as a covering. So therefore, you don't have a proof that the amulets don't have kedusha. You're allowed to wear it in the bathroom. Maybe really they don't have. They do have kedusha, and you would be not permitted to wear it to the bathroom unless they have a covering. So the Gemara says about haray tefillin the mechupe or, but that's not true. That when it comes to tefillin that we saw they are covered with leather. V'tanya, and the Braisa taught us explicitly. Tefillin is covered with the actual ksav of the tefillin that we wear is covered by the batin. So shouldn't that be enough to assume that you should not be allowed to wear them into the bathroom? We know explicitly the Braisa tells us you're not allowed to wear them into the bathroom. So even if something's covered with leather, you can't give me a teretz that if the kamiya really had kedusha, you'd be allowed to wear them into the bathroom. That's not true. So the Gemara says no, really hasam mishum shin. That in truth, the only issue is with regards to the shin, which is on the outside of the tefillin shel rosh. Abaye told us that when it comes to the shin of tefillin, that has a special kedusha, and that's halacha l'moshe b'sinai. However, when it comes to amulets, if they're covered, that would be okay because you don't have a special shin on the outside. Again, this would imply also the only issue would be wearing a tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel yad would not necessarily be an issue wearing them into the bathroom, and that's a whole other discussion. So the Gemara says, Abaye, how do we, now just another point, dalad shel tefillin halacha l'moshe b'sinai, the dalad that you wear in the back of your head, that's also halacha l'moshe b'sinai. Okay, so the Hasidim don't wear dal, they wear Deisan Kabbalah, they wear the four. That's very questionable. Rav Salavitch used to say that if there's every minhag except for two things that Hasidim do, they're allowed to keep that minhag. And one of them was this, that he says that if they wear the tefillin in the box, he thinks it's really problematic. The Marsha Befirish has to be a dalit, like the way the Ashkenazim wear it. Okay, but those are Hasidim, we don't want to rely on, depends who we would ask. Gemara says, Rabbi Abaye, Yud Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, also the letter Yud on the tefillin strap is Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. So we see over here that we really could, we end up giving the teretz that really is correct. Maybe that is a good teretz that we say that it really has kedusha and it's allowed to be covered by leather and it would not be problematic over here. We'll pick up from Vilabashir and Mirza Shem tomorrow.